In the whole Bible, there's only one woman whose age and death and burial are recorded. Did you know that? In all 66 books, there's just one woman. We're told how old she was when she died and that she was buried. And that woman is, of course, Sarah. There's a lovely verse in one of the Psalms that says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." So death is a time of, well, weakness. Death is a time of complete weakness, a time of sorrow, a time of mourning. It's a time of sorrow. It's a time that's precious to God, when we're not forgotten. Time when he remembers us. And that's why we treat the body with respect. Especially because we believe in the resurrection. We believe that we're not escaping in our soul to heaven to remain there forever. But we believe that Jesus, he's risen. He will raise up. He will raise up also us again in a resurrection body, that he will give us a renewed body. And so we treat the body with respect. We don't treat it with superstition. We don't treat it as if, well, not according to any of the legends, as if the spirit is still hovering or the spirit is going to curse us if we don't spend so much money on it that you have to get the most expensive coffin and the best plot, otherwise a spirit may curse us. Those things are not true. But according to the scriptures, the spirit of the believer, it goes to be with the Lord Jesus Christ immediately. Those who die today, they go to be with Christ in heaven and to make ready to come back with him when he makes all things new. And so a Christian burial is it's a testimony of faith. It's a testimony that we believe Jesus has not finished with this body. He will raise it up again. Now, of course, if the body is cremated or if it's burnt in a fire or some tragedy happens, if you die at sea or anything of that kind, well, of course, Jesus can bring the body back again. He can make a new one. He can do anything. But we bury as a testimony to our belief that Jesus will raise us up again, and that it's a precious and significant thing when one of his people dies. So Sarah died. We're told that she reached a great age. Verse 1 says 127 years old. In that part of the Bible, it seems people were living to longer ages than they do now. The ages at which they lived was going down after the flood. We don't know exactly what caused that, what the medical reasons were or other reasons in God's purposes, but Sarah lived to a good old age. Many years before, she'd called herself old. She said, "When I'm old, will I have the pleasure of childbirth?" Now she's very, very old indeed. But she dies. No matter how long you live to, if you live to 100, if you live to 127, yet the day will come when you'll die. We're sons and daughters of Adam. The sentence of death is against us because of Adam's sin. We must die. It's getting nearer. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27 says, "It is appointed for man once to die, and then the judgment." Today you're a day closer than you were yesterday. We're a few hours closer to dying than when we started the meetings today. Every second, every minute, every hour, we come closer to the time that God has chosen and we want to be ready for it. We want to understand that we can't live forever until Jesus makes all things new, which he will do. We need to be ready. She died and Abraham mourned. He went to mourn, verse 2, for Sarah, to weep over her. It's right to mourn, because death is a terrible thing. It's not part of what God planned when he made the world, not his intention. If Adam had obeyed God, if Adam had kept the commandment he was given and loved the Lord God in that test with the fruit, then there would have been no death. It's a terrible invader, a terrible enemy that's come in. And even with Christians, we should mourn them. Jesus wept. John chapter 11, verse 35, at the tomb of Lazarus, even though he was about to raise him up, Jesus himself wept as he saw the awfulness of death. Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, we shouldn't mourn like people who have no hope. But we do mourn, but not in a hopeless way. But we mourn those who we walked with are now gone and we're separated until, well, we don't know when. We don't know when we'll see them again. They've got nothing more to do on this earth until Jesus brings them back. Abraham mourned, then he made ready to bury her. He called her in verse 4, my dead. Later on, he called her my wife. Abraham took his responsibility seriously to bury his wife. He didn't say, well, she's gone now, but the respect that should be given to the dead body which God made when he made man in the image of God, he went to bury her. He did his duties. He provided for his wife even in death. You see, he still called her my wife, though he was free again to marry, and he did actually marry later. But his duties to Sarah continued even in death. I think Abraham took better care of his wife in death than some people do in life. But we see here a devoted and a true husband for her, to her. The thing he did was he bought a burial cave. It was a custom in those times. Well, they buried the body, but they didn't do it in the ground. They did it in caves and underground caverns, even underground passages. That continued even till the time of Jesus. We find Jesus was placed in a garden cave when he died. That was the custom of the people of the East, in places which they called catacombs, where the dead were placed. Now, Abraham called himself a stranger. Verse 4, I am an alien, a foreigner, and a stranger among you. He didn't own any land. We've often read he was just traveling. God told him to travel. He went to different parts of the land to see it all. Because God had said, your children will have this land. But by faith, he toured the land to see what God was giving them. He didn't own any plot. So when he wanted to bury Sarah, he had to buy one now. Verse 4, sell me some property for a burial site so I can bury my dead. These verses are mentioned in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews. We read that Abraham and those after him, they confessed that they were strangers in the land, that they were waiting for God to bring something better, that they weren't looking for their glory in the here and now, but they were waiting for God to fulfill something better. It says there that's how we should be too. But whatever you own in this life, if you manage to rise up and own big plots and big house one day, in your heart you need to still say, I'm a stranger here in this world. I'm a foreigner here. Yes, we're going to inherit it one day, but we can't get our glory truly until Jesus returns. So now we're just touring it, we're travelling around it. And whatever bit of land we have, we just rest there for a time, but we won't inherit until Jesus comes. For now, we're strangers in this world, just passing through. Well, the people, they gave their reply to Abraham, verse 5 and 6. Sir, listen to us. You are a mighty prince among us. He said, you can choose whichever tomb you like to bury your dead. Any one of us will let you have his tomb. Now, it's not often you get that kind of honour to an outsider, somebody who doesn't belong. But Abraham, he had been many years in the land. How old was Sarah when she gave birth to Isaac? She was 90 years old. And this is another 37 years. So something like 60 years have passed, 62 years or so have passed since they came out of Ur as the Chaldees and they came here. Abraham had become well known and he had a fine reputation as a great man. Not because he'd bought lots of land and made himself a great person. I think it's the way he lived before God. Yeah, he'd been involved in some great things when he rescued Lot and others after the invasion and the destroying of Sodom. He'd been involved in things involving Pharaoh in Egypt and Abimelech in the territory of the Philistines. He was known as a great man amongst them, even though he didn't own any plot at all of land. It should be so that Christians should be known where they live, that their way of life should be a shining light to others, that others should know that there's something different and special about these people. I'm not talking about wealth and riches. I'm speaking about their integrity, their godliness, their seriousness in serving. They should be known so they win. Even outsiders, even a different people, will acknowledge. So that's what the people said. Abraham had humbled himself through his life, yet in the eyes of the people he was lifted up. God lifts up those who humble themselves. Now Abraham behaved with great respect to them. They called him a great prince. Verse 7, he rose, he bowed down. He made the request very humbly and graciously. He just asked permission to plead with this man Ephron that he could buy the cave that was in his field and to pay the full price. Abraham didn't begin to say, well, I'm such a great man then. Here's what you'll do. No, he addressed him very humbly. There was no pride in him. He didn't say, well, God has promised me the whole land, actually. Now, this is all going to be my inheritance. So why don't you just give me something? There was no pride in Abraham. Though the land was promised to him, yet he would do everything rightly before the people. He would give honour and respect to the people. There was no sense of, well, I'm better than you. I'm so favoured by God. I've got such promises. I've seen such miracles. I've received such blessings. And there was none of that in him. So again, he's an example for us of what it means to live by faith. And he insisted on paying the price. He wouldn't receive it from them just as a gift. He wouldn't honour Sarah with what cost him nothing. Probably this was a very wise thing to do. What if he just took it as a gift? If Ephron gave it to him and Abraham received it, or one day the son of Ephron might come and say, well, I'm taking it back, it's mine now. My father let you have it for a time and now I take it back again. Or might have come to Abraham's son, or maybe their grandsons might have met. They'd have said, well, no money was paid, you know, so this was just a loan, we'll have it back. So Abraham was wise in paying a price that everybody could see, so everybody knew that it was his. Perhaps he didn't want to receive it as a gift from the Canaanites. He knew that God actually was angry with the people of the land. He'd been told that they were very wicked, that God one day was going to judge them and take the land away. He didn't want to receive their gifts and make it seem as if there was no big problem, as if God looks on one and the other as the same. I don't know what Abraham preached to them, if he preached against their wickedness, or what he told them about God's purposes. Remember before, he didn't want to receive a gift from the king of Sodom. The king of Sodom was wicked. He didn't want anyone to say that these wicked people had lifted Abraham up. He'd rather pay than to get a gift from such people. You see again some of his wisdom, some of his humility, some of his patience, willingness to let things happen God's way, in God's time. Abraham is the great life of faith, as we've seen, and even in tragedy and sorrow, he's upright and he's wise before God. We should aim for that faith that doesn't fall apart when trial comes. Faith which is constant in good times and in bad. Well, Sarah died then, and Abraham bought a burial cave for her. And he did bury her there after paying the 400 shekels of silver. Good price. I mean, quite a high price. A large amount of money. It was deeded to him. All this God's purposes were continuing to go forward. The son that God had promised was coming. Yes, Isaac had been born, but Isaac wasn't the Messiah. The Messiah was still coming. Interesting, in Genesis we read of six people buried in this cave. Sarah, also Abraham, later. Abraham and Sarah were buried there. Also Isaac and Rebekah were buried there later on. Also Jacob and Leah were buried there later on. And that was the line of Jesus Christ. He was a son of Jacob through Leah. He was a son of Isaac and Rebekah. He was a son of Abraham and Sarah. We don't read of Rachel being buried there. It was Jacob's favourite wife. And Leah was the one that he didn't want to marry. But she was buried there, and Rachel wasn't. We don't read of Esau being buried there. Esau was Isaac's favourite son, not Jacob. Esau was chosen by Isaac and Jacob wasn't, but God had a different plan. Esau was buried somewhere else. Abraham and Sarah, they didn't go back to Ur of the Chaldees to be buried. He didn't send her back to the place they'd come from. And he himself wasn't taken back to the place that they'd come from. Because God's purpose was to come through a chosen line for Christ to be born, for Christ to walk in this land, for Christ to walk in this place. What we're seeing is God's purposes going forward. Ordinary things happening, people living, people dying, people being buried. There are signs of God's purposes going forward. They believed that the promise that one day the land would be taken. And so they were buried there as a testimony. It's good to start well in the Christian life. Good to continue well. It's even better to finish well. To finish, and still God's purposes have been going forward in our lives, even in old age if we reach it. Even when we're gone and our children are still here. God's purposes to go forward.